Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Thanks for Everything, was given by Pastor Greg Cuzzone on Sunday, November 26, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
Let's join together for a word of prayer. Would you join with me? God, we thank you. Thank you for your greatness. We also thank you for your goodness, for your bounty of goodness to us. What shall we return to you for all your bounty? We will lift up the cup of salvation and call on your name. We open ourselves to you, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear and to do what you call us to do. And give me the power to preach with boldness and clarity, that my words might become your living words to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the title of the message today is Thanks for Everything. And I want to welcome all the people that are here in the room and you who are online and hope and pray that you do indeed hear God's word for you today. Thanks for everything. Now, you may have heard me say this before, but it was Mark Twain, the great American writer who once quipped, there are two kinds of people. There are people who divide everybody into two kinds and everyone else. Now, with that in mind, I'm still going to say there are two kinds of lives and two kinds of people. There are those people who say, everything I have, I've earned. It's mine. And then those people who say, everything I have comes as a gift from God. Even life itself is God's gift to me. The difference is, thanks for nothing, thanks for everything. If we want to follow what Scripture leads us to do and to be in this life, we want to be in that second category, thanks for everything. Because there we find life. We find health. We find peace and joy. Now, I think what's been really fascinating about the sermons that we've been hearing is that we have seen the fullness of what God intends for us to live in this journey through the book of Exodus. You know, we've seen lamentation, complaint, times when life isn't so good, and we have a place to place that before God. And we've seen last week Ray led us into a place of passion, for all that God does, passion and worship and devotion. And this week we're going to see God leading us into thankfulness and gratitude. And in this fullness of God's Scripture in the Old Testament, we see the fullness of life, don't we? And I don't know about you, but I think life that I've been taught so often squeezes us into a good mold of, hey, how you doing? Fine, how are you, right? But the fullness of Scripture says, no, we can complain, we can be exuberant, and we can be thankful, and sometimes it happens all within the same group of people. The psalm today, Psalm 116, leads us into gratitude. So I want to define gratitude. Gratitude can be defined this way: the quality of being thankful, a readiness to show appreciation and to return kindness. And to return kindness. Listen to Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications, because God inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. So I'll pause there at this third verse. We see the setting of this psalm. The setting of the psalm is illness. The setting of the psalm is a place that the psalmist has been delivered and is grateful. Now, as you might hear in my voice, I'm recovering from illness this week. A little congestion is lingering. And so I thought I'd try, you know, this verse this week while I was recovering on my wife, Laura. I said, Laura, the snares of death are encompassing me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. Yeah, you get the joke, right? She's like, Greg, you got a head cold. I think that verse is not for you, you know? The psalmist was obviously in much deeper shape. And from those depths, so often we learn the value of being redeemed. And gratitude, we should take note of, doesn't deny hardship, but finds reasons even to be thankful amidst adversity. And so in verse 4, we read, "Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, God saved me." And now this is an interesting verse, verse 7. Listen to it. "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Do you catch the shift in address there? So suddenly the psalmist is talking to himself, to his soul. "Return, O my soul, to your rest." Now, I learned that this is a form of biblical meditation. I learned this when I was a pastor in New York City, and from time to time I'd go and listen to the pastor Tim Keller do devotions in the morning on Wednesdays. And one time he was doing a devotion on Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name," right? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And Tim said, that's a really kind of weird verse. You're not speaking to God in prayer. You're not speaking to someone else. You're speaking to your own soul. And Tim said, that's the basis of meditation. You work over these truths in your life, these truths of gratitude, these truths of deliverance and salvation. "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling." And then we come to the central experience of this psalm, and I think you could say this is the central experience of spirituality in the Old Testament. "I walk before the Lord in the land of the living." You see, fundamentally in the Old Testament, the word for being a disciple, as we would call it in the Christian church, is to walk. Life is lived along the way. Halakha is the word, to walk. We often talk about this in terms of discipleship. Discipleship means to follow after God. But particularly in terms of the center of spiritual life, did you catch what is in there? "I walk in the very face of Yahweh," in the presence of the covenantal God, the one we heard who revealed himself in Exodus, Yahweh, the God of Israel. I walk in the presence, in the face of that God. That's the center of this psalm. I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, and the surprise about this verse is it came before social media. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. You ever read Twitter, now called X? You could say that line very easily, right? Everyone is a liar. And then we get the opening, like the gates just open and you see Thanksgiving. When I was doing an internship in my senior year of seminary, I remember the pastor there, Ben Patterson, said, this is the great verse of Thanksgiving. I love this verse, and I've treasured it ever since. Somehow it continues to speak to me when I hear Ben give witness to what this verse evokes. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? What shall we return to God? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of Yahweh, of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. And here we see that gratitude evokes a response that gives out in response, not because of being owed that God, and therefore we can pay God back, but we live a life in which we see bounty everywhere and we want to give out with thanksgiving. I will offer you, God, a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now, we've been focusing on gratitude quite a bit in our congregation. We've had the 25 Days of Gratitude videos. We've had various sermons over time. We've been reading books. So I hope we recognize that gratitude is good for us. So why not take on why it is that we're not often more grateful? Well, the first reason, and I did, by the way, put this into the video, so I don't want to repeat too much, but the first reason we are not grateful is we live in a consumer-based society that tells us we never have enough. The whole purpose of advertising is to give you bad news and tell you a product that you need to buy so you can get better looking, younger. That's actually quite a stretch sometimes, isn't it? More exciting, more intelligent, whatever it is. And what I've discovered about our culture, if I was a preacher from the old days talked about the devil, the flesh, and the world. This is that third part of the world, the way the world squeezes us into a mold. You know that verse from Romans 12, do not be squeezed into the mold of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be squeezed in by the consumptive a consumeristic world that we live in that says you need more and more and more. Gratitude says, I have enough. Amen. Now, the other part about our culture, the ways of the world that we live in that squeeze out gratitude is, it's kind of funny when I read this. I have to admit, I found this humorous. You'll see if you find it humorous. Is not just consumerism, but narcissism. See, I think this is kind of funny because it's so obvious. There's a great center at UC Berkeley called the Greater Good Center, and they study things like happiness and joy and psychological health. And it found that certain traits, envy, cynicism, and narcissism act as barriers to gratitude. So there's a study they looked at of undergraduate students that self-reported levels of narcissism at the beginning of the study were significantly negatively associated with gratitude levels 2 months later. So if you start as a narcissist, 2 months later, you're not going to be much happier. And then the researchers wrote this. I just have to say again, I just find this like so patently obvious that it just strikes a chord. Individuals high in narcissism may not even notice that a gift has been conferred because they believe they are entitled to the benefit. Oh, thanks. That was mine from the beginning. It's all about me anyway, right? Everything I've done, everything I am, bring it on. So it's really an amazing thing that we can do. And I think we have an amazing propensity, inclination to sin and to combine these things. We can combine narcissism and consumerism together. And as we come to this time of year, and I love this time of year, I love the decorations. Aren't they just amazing, these decorations? They bring you to be grateful. At least they bring me just to gratitude for the beauty of the sanctuary. But what we think about that tree is you think below it, what's the gift I'm going to get, right? What's somebody going to give me? That's how we're trained in a narcissistic, consumeristic society. And do you see the beauty of alternative gift fare? All of a sudden, we break that cycle. We give to people who need, and we don't receive a gift in return. And we model what the wise men, the Magi, did when the Savior was born. They gave out of joy. And so we give. So we give. Narcissism, consumerism are both enemies of gratitude. But as the verse from Romans says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We can renew our minds and our lives by learning how to practice and think about and embody gratitude. Now, you've heard the name of Robert Emmons. We have recommended his books for study as a congregation. Robert Emmons teaches at UC Davis, and a couple years ago he came to Chico State, and he taught actually at the Adventist Church one night on gratitude. And Emmons is just a great person. I hope you're able to see some of the scientific research he's done about gratitude and its positive effects on us. When he came to the Adventist church, there were about 200 people one evening listening to him. And there are many, many things he said, but they were summarized in this way. Gratitude is one of the cheapest prescriptions for overall health we can find. UC Berkeley's Greater Good Center has found these statistics. Youth that live gratefully have 13% fewer fights. They're 10 times less likely to start smoking and 20% more likely to receive A grades. If we as a whole are grateful, the statistics show that we can add as much as 7 years to our life. We are more deeply bonded with community, and our levels of happiness and joy in life go up. No wonder Emmons says, gratitude is one of the cheapest prescriptions for overhealth, all health we can find. And so I come then to a little bit of an irony from Emmons, because we got a chance to meet Bob. I got a chance to get on a first-name basis, at least during that time he was here, and he was at my house with a group of people that study science and theology, and we were talking about his book, and this is before the talk, and I said, you know, Bob, how is it that you study gratitude? Are you just a naturally grateful person? And he said, you know what? My wife thinks this is the biggest irony in the world. I'm not very grateful as a person. But maybe it's when we recognize that we're not naturally grateful, that we practice gratitude and it begins to take hold in our life. And so here's my prescription for gratitude. Very simple. Start with where you are. Two, three things that you're grateful for. What are they? Start with where you are first thing in the morning, and you can put around that a scripture. There's one that I've just treasured from the Book of Daily Prayer, from the Book of Common Worship in the Presbyterian Church. From Psalm 90, verse 14, satisfy us, Lord, with your love in the morning, and we shall live this day in prayer and praise. And I would add thanks. Satisfy us with your love in the morning, and we shall live this day in joy and prayer and praise and thanks. Every morning, start with that. And the offices of prayer, that's the technical language, the rhythms of prayer are to do this five times throughout the day. So you do it when you wake up, and you do it at each meal, and then you do it at the end of the day. God, thank you for this day that you've just given me. Thank you that now I have a time of grace where I sleep. And at least for those 7 or 8 hours, you take care of the world. I don't have to worry about it. A prescription for gratitude is to start where you are, find two or three things, and have a rhythm in which you do that every day. So I do have one closing that I used in the video that is so tempting. It's tempting to become an inspirational speaker for a moment. Do you want to be happier and healthier? Do you want a longer life? Do you want your kids to get A's? Then learn to practice an attitude of gratitude. Your life will never be the same. I, Greg Cuzzona, guarantee it. And I have a book for you downstairs afterward, right? You see, gratitude is so good for us. It can easily become one more form of exploitation and manipulation. But you know what? We're a community of worship. And so at the center of gratitude is what we heard in the psalm. I will live in the presence of Yahweh. I will live in the presence of God. No matter what other benefits we get from gratitude, that is the best news I can offer. That at the heart of gratitude is the heart of God. May we take steps now and throughout the day to walk in the presence of our God. Let's pray. Oh, God, it's hard not to get a little worked up about this, because you're so good. Your steadfast love endures forever. Your faithfulness is new every morning. What shall we return to you for all the bounty that you have given to us? We give you our voices. We give you our hearts. We give you our lives. We ask that you would help us to walk deeply into your heart. As we pray in Christ's name, amen.